We're going to be, if you would turn it two places, Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to read one verse there, and then we'll be most of the night in John chapter 10. So Nehemiah chapter 8, as well as John chapter 10. Boy, I've been privileged to be with you guys here this week. We're so thankful for your church just welcoming us. We really feel like y'all are really good friends to us, and it's nice to have a place we can come to, and we're not too worried about what people think. Just a little bit, but it's nice that we can do it. I don't know if you know, but y'all opened up the property for us, and we really enjoy it. We use some of the space in the print shop to build illusions for the future ministry, and most places I can't do that, but pastor's been gracious to let me use for part of your shop while we're here, so we're thankful for that. And boy, I really enjoyed the youth rally. I love to see when a church comes together for the Word of God, and just working and preparing the skits and preparing the food and the decorations and everything and all the hours that went into that. I love that. And, you know, the church is not just a couple of people. It's a whole body of Christ, and it's great when everyone finds what their role is and gets involved. And so I commend you on that. It was a great night. Praise the Lord for the fruit. The young girl, towards the end of the invitation, really, was interested in salvation, and her friend helped her come find my wife, and Joy got to talk to her and lead her to Christ, and that was a blessing. And I guess she might have heard it before, but she said, I've never done that. And so she called on Christ Friday night, and we were excited about that. I think there's some other decisions as well, it seemed. And so I wanted to also say thank you for your generosity to us. You're all such a blessing to our family. We appreciate it. And also, if you want a prayer card, if you want an updated prayer card, we have a whole lot on the front row over here. So just on the way out tonight or whatever, we'd be honored if you would take a prayer card and think of us in prayer. And that would be a blessing to us. So Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 10, and then we're going to go to John chapter 10. So Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse number 10, here's what the Word of God says. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. Amen, right there. But all right. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Tonight, I'm going to preach to you about joy. My wife, no, not my wife, but that's her name, if you didn't know, but no, about joy, and I love that verse. Sometimes people get discouraged, they get weary and well-doing, and I tell you, how do you get back to the strength? If you're getting weak in your walk with God, what do you need? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Keep that in mind as you look at John chapter 10 and verse number 10. John 10:10, Jesus is speaking here. And here's what he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. I tell you, it's a blessing to serve the Lord. It really is. It is a joy to serve the Lord. And, you know, there's people sometimes I meet and say, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry I asked, you know, because they're going to tell you, well, you know, my friend just died, and this neighbor's sick over here, and that neighbor I can't stand, and that neighbor I wish was dead. And I mean, it's like, wow, they're just always depressed, always pessimistic about things. I tell you, that's something not good there, something that's not right. Those of us that know the Lord, it's not that life is perfect, but there is a more abundant life found in living for Christ and serving Christ. And I tell you, tonight, what we need to do is, we should be having the time of our lives. You know, we really should. And joy is not necessarily just an emotion, although there should be some emotion expressed with that. There's a deep joy. There's a joy that is there even during difficult times. It's there when the circumstances are less than ideal. It is there when the world looks at us and say, well, how are you holding it together? Well, there's just a joy of the Lord that is my strength. When I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and as I'm living for Jesus Christ, there is life, and it's life more abundantly. Number one, I want to ask this question, what does joy look like? What does joy look like? Well, as Jesus said, joy looks like life more abundantly. That they might have it more abundantly. You know, I don't often I don't mean to embarrass my wife tonight, but I tell you, she's one of the most joyful people I've met. And she's always been that way since I've known her. And you probably would have, a lot of people that don't know her don't realize that she cares hours a day for a special needs child that has a lot of extra work. That can take a toll on some people. And you probably don't realize that, she lives on the road. She lives on the road in a trailer, traveling hours every week. But I've never met someone more joyful. You probably also wouldn't know that she has a very close family member in jail, in prison. It's been there, and it's going to be there for a while longer. And I'm talking a very close family member. And a lot of those things you don't realize. You know why? Because I tell you, the joy just bubbles over. My wife, and it's not a show. It's nothing pretend. It's not a pretend. It reminds me of Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, 5, the Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." I tell you, when you're living for the Lord, that's what happens. Your cup runneth over. Just the joy of the Lord just bubbles over when you have that. It shows up, number one, on your countenance. I tell you, there's some people that you really need to let joy show up on your countenance. Again, I know there's times we're tired and you don't always have to walk around with a smile plastered to your face. But, you know, when people look at your countenance, they should know, man, that person's happy. Why are they smiling? You know, why are they enjoying? What do they have that I need? It's the joy of the Lord. It shows up on your countenance. And, when Moses came down from the mountain after spending time with the Lord, the Bible says that his face glowed. I believe that was a literal glow, but I also believe that there's something about Moses' countenance that was like, man, this guy has been with God. I wonder when people see you, do they say, oh, that lady, she's been with God. You can see it on her face. That gentleman, that young man, he knows the Lord because it shows up in his countenance. Like in Acts chapter 6, and Stephen is on trial for his life. And as Stephen's there on trial, the people accused Stephen, and he stood there listening to these things, and they asked him, and he got to answer for himself. And as he answers for himself, he goes back into the history of things, he starts talking about things, and the people hated it. And in fact, they got to a point where they're incredibly convicted. The Bible says they were pricked in their reins. In fact, they ended up plugging their ears. They were so convicted with this message, and they rushed upon him. But you know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 15? Says this, "And all that sat in the council," the people listening to him that day, "and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Here's this man who literally, moments after this, is killed. He is martyred. He is put to death for what he believed about Christ. But just before that, they said, man, all that sitting by himself, this guy just, his face, there's something different about his countenance. If you're always looking depressed, if you're always looking down, if you always have a sour look on your face, spend some more time with the Lord. Go back to the Lord to get that strength, because, boy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It shows up in our countenance. Number two, it's kind of related, but it shows up with a sweet spirit. The word unspeakable is used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8, the Bible says, "Wherein ye rejoice greatly, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Well, the people that Peter writing to is in incredible persecution for the cause of Christ. Their lives are being lost, or losing their jobs, and incredible difficulties going on. But Paul is saying, or Peter is saying, hey, you're rejoicing, even though now there's some difficult temptations. He says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I know you're going through some tough times, but boy, if you make it through this fire, if you make it through this trial, I'm telling you, you are going to be glorifying God through this whole situation. But then he says this. He says, "Whom having not seen, you love. And whom thou, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These believers who are going through some of the most difficult things, some things that most of us will never have to face. I hope that we'll, if you'll never have to face them. They were going through difficult persecutions, but they say, you know what? There was just a joy unspeakable about them. There was something about their spirit that when people got around them, they knew these people are the real deal. These people have something with the Lord that you just can't ignore. They have that life, and that life that's more abundantly. Number three, what does it look like? It shows up in your eyes. In your eyes. You know, the Bible talks about our eyes, and the Bible says in Psalm 38, verse 10, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me, as for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. David is going through a difficult time, and he says, the light of my eyes is gone from me. The joy is not there like it used to be, like I want it to be. It showed up in their eyes. And in Proverbs 15, verse 30, the Bible says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. He says, boy, your eyes can show you the joy that's going on. Jesus as well speaks about the eyes. You know, we have about a 1.5-year-old daughter named Addison. And when Addison is in trouble, she won't look at you. She won't. I mean, she's only 1.5 years old. She only says a couple of words now. But, you know, when she's done something she shouldn't, which of course never happens. Yeah, right. We take her face. And sometimes I'll put both hands on her face and try to, you know, speak to her. And she'll go like this. I mean, she's looking everywhere else but at me. Why? Because she knows, busted. You know, she knows that she's been caught right there, and you can see it in her eyes. The contrary thing is also true, though. When she does something we're very proud of her for, when she does something that she does a good job at, and we're praising her, she'll look right into my eyes, then she'll look right into Joy's eyes, back to my eyes, back to Joy's eyes. Why? Their eyes communicate just, hey, mom and dad are pleased with me. Mom and dad are happy with what I've been doing. And even though she's so little, we can see a lot of what's going on through her eyes. There's some things you can't fake. And even though there's difficult times you go through, boy, I hope that it shows up on your face that there is a love and a joy for the Lord that you have. Number two, this question, where does joy begin? Where does joy begin? When Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy, he says, I am come that they might have life. Joy begins at salvation. That life begins the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. When you receive Christ, things change. Everything changes. There's things we need to work on. There's still sanctification when you get closer to the Lord, but things change. And that joy begins there. There's a deep joy that the person who's not saved just doesn't grasp, just doesn't understand. David said this in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, David says, I've gotten away from the Lord, and as I've gotten away from the Lord, I've been saddened, I've been depressed, and my sin has sucked away my joy. He says, no, Lord, I want that back. That time when I got saved, restore that joy to me again. Joy begins at salvation. I love leading kids to Christ, and there's been many times when we get to lead kids to Christ, and I love going through it. I don't know if you guys remember a year ago, we tried to go through some things that we do, and we'd ask a lot of questions when we talk to kids. We don't want to put words in their mouth. We don't want to force them to do things. We want them to truly understand and get saved. And I love it whenever we get to the end, right after, you know, they've prayed and asked the Lord to save them. And I like to go back to the scripture and say, you know, let's look at Romans 10:13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? And they'll say, saved. I said, did you just call upon the name of the Lord? Did you just trust Christ as your Savior? Yeah. But what does this verse say that you are? And I love just the look on their face. And look at it. I'm saved. And man, you can just see the joy. They're like, And then I got saved. I accepted Christ. I received Christ as my Savior. Boy, that joy just begins to show up. Boy, joy begins, life begins the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, I hope that tonight you'll consider that and allow the love of Christ to shine in your hearts and allow Jesus' blood to wash your sins away and to give you a home in heaven, because that is where joy begins. Number three, here's a question: what steals your joy? So we see what joy looks like, we see where joy begins, but what can steal your joy? Jesus says, "The thief cometh." There's one that is trying to steal your joy. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, if Satan can't steal your soul, if Satan can't prevent you from getting saved, then the next objective he has is to ruin your life. He wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if he can get you off, if he can steal your joy, then he can make you a weak Christian. He can make you a weak Christian. You know, we were on a missions trip to North Caicos Islands, and I don't know if y'all knew this. I think some of you do, but my wife and I are expecting, and so we're very excited about that and thrilled. I think we're about 9 weeks, so we're due sometime in December. And if you've been wondering why Joy walks out in the middle of preaching sometime, she's not offended. It's because she's very sick, and she's with Carson. She used to toss her cookies about 10 times a day. She hasn't done that as much yet, but she still has been very sick. And I guess, I can't relate to that. I don't know if you guys knew, I haven't actually had a baby, and so I can't really relate to that. But when we were on a missions trip to the North Caicos, we took a little boat ride to do a little activity thing. We're there with the missionaries and some families. So we went on this boat ride, and it was in open water. I should have asked more questions, you know, before it was in open water. I mean, and it wasn't a crazy choppy day for the boat person, the captain, whatever, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. He was like, oh, this is great, you know, and I'm like, man, the thing is getting tossed around like crazy. And all of us except for like one got seasick. In fact, the one that didn't, she had never been on a boat before too, so I was really jealous. But I mean, all of us, and the captain, he didn't get seasick either, but I mean, we were all seasick, and I'm just like, oh man, you can't escape me. You know, let's jump in the water. Well, that didn't help. Let's get back on the boat. That made it worse. You know, there was no escaping it. And we kept telling the guy, all right, okay, you know, let's go back. And he's like, I want to catch a fish. Like, I don't care about your fish. Let's go back to land. We're all, do you see this going on here? He's like, oh, this is good fishing. There's, anyway, so we were kind of frustrated with him, to say the least. But I remember thinking, is this what morning sickness feels like? You live with this? Joy's like, pretty much. I'm like, man, wow, you're the most amazing woman I've ever met. But, you know, I remember this is how weak you can feel. I know there's been times when I got food poisoning, and I mean, just my strength has been totally gone. I mean, just completely zapped. And, you know, that's what Satan wants to do to your Christian walk. He wants to remove all strength that you have to live for the Lord. What can do that? What steals joy? Number one, I wrote this down, doubt. A pessimistic view of your life. Doubt can destroy your joy. When you begin doubting, you know, is God really good? And is this really what God wants? And you begin doubting the decisions and things God's doing in your life, that can take your joy right away. I know... I was kind of telling this morning about how our son, the doctor didn't want us to travel, and one of the main reasons she didn't is because they said he needs therapy. Well, we knew he did, and we wanted to do everything we could to get him the therapy that he needed. And so when we got back to Texas, which is where we're based out of, we went to the doctor there, and we said, hey, we need to get him in a therapy appointment. They said, okay, well, you have to wait 10 months. I'm like, he's 3 months old. In 10 months, he'll be over a year, and he can't get any therapy, and he's going to be so behind without getting any of this. And so, what are we going to do here? The doctor's saying we can't travel, and even if we didn't travel, we still would be sitting at home for 10 months. And so we said, well, you know what? We actually travel for work, and so all we need is, if you would just teach Joy what to do, Joy will be his therapist, and we'll just come back for assessments. I said, oh, we can see you next week. This is so cool because If we didn't travel, then that would have happened. You see, God knew. God's taking care of us. And, but I remember, they trained Joy in some different things. He has three therapists, a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, a physical therapist. So training Joy in things, Joy's working with him. Well, so that was back around November, December, when we were on the road in March. We knew we weren't going to be home for a couple of months, and Joy was just really just discouraged about his progress. And he wasn't advancing, and he, you know, wasn't eating like he should, or wasn't eating at all. He wasn't taking his bottle hardly at the time, and just really disappointed. And really, we were starting to doubt. And I'm like, Lord, I mean, should I fly them home? I don't even know, you know, what to do. Lord, you set our schedule up here, and this is where we believe that you opened the doors. And so, Lord, I don't know what to do except, God, will you just help us? I don't even know what to pray. Will you just help us? The very next week, we go into the church, and there is a therapist in the church, but not just a therapist, a speech therapist. Not just a speech therapist, but an infant speech therapist. Those are very rare. There's very few churches. In fact, at that time, I don't think I'd ever been to one church that had an infant speech therapist there. And she heard about it, like, oh yeah, well, I'll show you some things. So she came over, and it was just so cool because when we started doubting and we were starting to get disappointed and discouraged about what we thought God called us to do, and God had set that meeting up probably before he was even born. So God knew before Carson was even born that we were going to be at that point in that time. God had worked the whole thing out. The very next church, the week right after, same exact thing. There was another infant speech therapist. And I'll tell you, for us, it was just like, God's going to take care of it. We'll serve the Lord. What we can't do is doubt. We can't doubt the Lord, because when you doubt the Lord, that's when your joy begins to be stolen from you. Number two, I wrote this down. What steals joy? An obsession with violence. I don't know what it is, but a lot of the youth today, there's an obsession with violence in the video games. There's an obsession of violence in our entertainment that we watch, and obsession with death, obsession with gore. You know, in Psalm 11, verse 5, the Bible says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." You know, we have to be very careful to desensitize, to be careful not to be sensitive to the areas, this area of violence and death. And, you know, along those lines, some people, perhaps, I don't know in here, I'm not speaking specifically, I'm just thinking of other people I've met in churches I've been to. There's some people that have the whole goth thing going on. They dress in black and, you know, color their hair black and black makeup and everything is dark. And I think that does not show the joy of the Lord. It doesn't. And I know it's a matter of the heart, but I mean, just look at those people. You can look in their eyes and see that person doesn't have the joy of the Lord. They may be saved, but they're pulling away from God. Satan is stealing their joy because of their obsession. I don't know what their obsession is exactly, but I know the whole God as a whole, well, that's not the joy of the Lord. So I encourage you, be careful with those things. Don't let the joy of the Lord be stolen from your heart. What can steal your joy? Impatience. Impatience can steal joy. You know, and you're man, I don't want to do this thing. Lord, I want to do this. And how come you won't let me do this? And I really want to make this choice. And you're not letting being impatient. I read the verse this morning. I want to read it again. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord. Where you say, I'm getting weak, I'm getting depressed, I'm getting discouraged in waiting. But then the wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Well, when we get impatient, that can zap our strength. That can zap the joy right from us. So some of us need to go back and play, well, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to wait on you. I'm not going to force this. I'm not going to just push this through. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And you'll find that when you get, and the Bible says, wait patiently. Sometimes we wait impatiently, don't we? I'm waiting. Wait patiently on the Lord. And boy, God will bless that. And you can see the joy return to your heart. Number four, what steals joy? High expectations. high expectations. You know, you're really expecting this thing, and or maybe you're really expecting your spouse to be a certain way or to do a certain thing, and they don't. And man, your joy is sucked from you, and you're just things come crashing down because, hey, I expected this from you, and you didn't come through for me. I think a lot of times in a marriage that can happen. A high expectation that is not met by the spouse can really bring discouragement. David says this in Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Lord, I don't want to place my hopes and dreams and expectations in a person. If you place your expectation in a person, they will let you down. It's just we're just human. That's what happened. But David says, you know, I'm going to put my expectation on the Lord. And my expectation is from Him. Well, that will help you to live in joy. Number five, what sells your joy? Discontentment. Discontentment. You know, I wanted more money. I want a nicer house. I want a better car. I want more things. Even these other people have this, and they're not even saved people. And here I am doing right. And how come they're blessed? And a discontent spirit can steal your joy. Discontent about your lot in life. Discontent about being single. Discontent with your spouse. You know, a verse that really encouraged me was 1 Timothy 6:6. When I was single, it was a verse that really encouraged me. 1 Timothy 6:6, the Bible says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You be godly, and you be content with where God has you. And God said, boy, that is great gain. But you'll be ahead of the game. You'll be very blessed if you'll just be godly and content with where God has you to be. Discontentment can steal your joy. Well, sometimes there's difficult things that happen to us. But I tell you, I encourage you, don't let those things steal your joy. Man, I would love for you to meet a friend of mine named Barry Bacon. That's his name, brother. They laugh at us because our last name's Corn. We laugh at them, last name's Bacon. You know, just corn and bacon. What are you gonna do? You're gonna have a feast, I guess. But hey, when you have bacon, do you need anything else? I don't know if you do. But brother Barry Bacon, he's a man who loves the Lord. In fact, he was in the Navy. He's a Navy corpsman that was attached to a Marine unit, and the Marines that he and his corps fought with and. They saw action in the North Philippines, training locals and fighting different Islamic factions. His mission, in fact, was classified, and then it was declassified. They actually reclassified it. And so some very interesting stories that he has. But during this time, fighting for our freedom, he experienced a lot of percussion injuries. There was a lot of explosions and bombs that went off right around him, very close to him. And at the time, he didn't realize how it affected his body. When he got out, the explosions actually created back issues for him. He didn't realize how serious they were. When he got out, he didn't even make a claim about it. And so he thought he could, you know, just deal with it on his own. But Brother Barry, during combat, he was knifed. During combat, he was involved in really in taking lives as well as part of the, terrible parts of war that he had to be a part of. You know, he deals with PTSD, but I tell you the big thing that he struggles with is RSD. It was birthed from that explosion that happened near him. And Brother Barry, actually, I think he was from somewhere in New England, if I remember, but he met this church in Louisiana, and he had a pastor that he just thought, man, I want to go help this pastor. And so they actually moved for the sole purpose of going to this church and serving and just being encouragement to this pastor. And he moved down there, and he's very involved with the teens and lately singing. Well, we just saw them back a couple months ago, and he could hardly come to church. He's quite a young man, but just from the struggles of war, he could, a lot of times he can't even get out of bed in the morning because he lives in pain every single day. You talk about an excuse someone had to be bitter. Talk about an excuse someone had to be upset. But boy, even though he can't always make it to service, whenever you see him at service, man, he's got a smile on his face. Boy, he is a man who, I say that, Brother Barry, he has the joy of the Lord. Even physically, he struggles to even walk now. He struggles to even go places because it flares up on him so bad with what happened to him fighting for our freedom. The man loves the Lord and it shows up on his countenance. Don't let the difficulties of life steal your joy. Number four, I thought of tonight, what brings more joy? What brings more joy? Say, you know, Brother Dave, there's some things I believe in my life. There is some joy that has been stolen away. Satan has been able to get in. How do I get back to it? What brings more joy? And I love the words from the lips of Jesus Christ in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. What brings more joy? The presence of Jesus Christ. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I think that the closer you get to Jesus, the more you experience the presence of Jesus in your life. That's where joy comes from. Joy doesn't come from the number in your bank account. Joy doesn't come from the size of your house. Joy doesn't come from the level of management that you are. No, joy comes from the presence of Christ. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. You know, the goodness of God is the reason why we get saved. We realize the love that he showed on that cross as he was nailed unto that cross and as he was brutally treated for us. Where the goodness of God leads to repentance. He's a good God. We have a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Well, when your life is not wrapped up in yourself, when your life is not wrapped up in your circumstances, when your life is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, that's when joy comes. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You say, I don't have the fullness of joy. You've gotten away from the presence of Christ. Let's get back to getting close to Jesus Christ. The more you draw close to him, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I remember some specific things about getting close to Jesus. Number one, preaching the gospel. When you are actively involved in preaching the gospel, it brings joy in your heart. That's why those that serve Friday night, well, there's an injection of joy. Why? Because you are a part of getting the gospel out. And in Philippians 1, verse 18, here's what Paul says. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know, I really like that verse because sometimes we get critical of different ministries. And what Paul says in Philippians 1, he says, you know, some people, when they talk about Christ, they're being fake. They're speaking of Jesus Christ and they're pretending. And so that irks me. That bothers me when people are using Christ and they're fake about it. But you know what even Paul says about those people? He says, whether in pretense, that means whether they're being fake, whether in pretense or in truth, whether they're being fake about it or whether they're being sincere, Christ is preached. And therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Hey, you know what? Either way, Christ is preached. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that Jesus is preached. When Jesus is preached, it brings joy. What else brings joy? Optimistic faith. Optimistic faith brings joy. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. In Philippians 1:25, the Bible says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. You see, when you live a life of faith, it brings joy. There is joy to a life of faith. There shouldn't be a depression. Well, how do you do? Oh, I'm just suffering. No. When you live a life of faith, when you're focused on Jesus Christ, when your faith is on him, there's a joy that comes with it. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What overcomes the depression that you experience? What overcomes the discouragement? Your faith. For this, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory. We can be victorious over the enemy trying to do things in our lives. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Optimistic faith brings joy. There's a unity around Christ that brings joy. In Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I tell you what, when you're not worried about who gets the credit, when you're serving for the Lord and not worried about who's in charge or who's in the limelight, you're just coming together as a whole. When a church works together to serve the Lord, when you are like-minded, having the same love, the Bible says, fulfill ye my joy. There's a great joy that comes. That's why the local church is so important. Well, you ought to be an active member of a local church. Why? Because that's a place where God works. And when you find the role that God has for you in a local church, the joy just abounds in your heart. There's unity around Christ. There's a church that we've gone to for years. I think maybe several in a row during Christmas time in Alabama. And in fact, the entire church comes together to put on this thing they call Drive-Through Christmas. And it's not just a live activity. It is a huge event where you drive up and there's a whole scene. And in fact, what they do is everyone comes to the auditorium, and then they take them out in flatbed trailers, and they go from station to station. And each station, there's, just laid out with music and lights and actors and live animals, something about the life of Christ. And so they'll go see, you know, the birth, where Mary's riding on a donkey. And then the lights will go out and the trailer will go to the next scene. And then it opens up, and after that scene, you see some of the miracles that Christ does. And it goes out. It's so cool. But what I love about the event, and they go all the way through to where they have the death of Christ. And they have one of my favorite scenes is the Pilate scene, where Pilate is there. He washes his hands of Christ and Barabbas is there yelling. And Jesus is thrown down. And man, just it's so moving to see